In this episode, we explore the entrepreneurial journey of Brent Nelson, owner of Tent Tracks, and the visionary behind these one-of-a-kind U.S.-made adventure trailers that allow owners to explore simply. Inspired by a family RV trip, Brent and his wife's leap from a corporate career to entrepreneurship ignited a passion for redefining outdoor experiences. We delve into Tent Tracks' innovative lightweight trailers that truly have created a class all their own. But it's not all nuts and bolts. Brent shares tales from the community that Tent Tracks has cultivated. From gold miners to backyard campers, each story is a thread in the vibrant tapestry of outdoor enthusiasts. We also spotlight Tent Tracks' involvement with the Outdoor Business Alliance and the joy of shaping a collective that champions the spirit of exploration. As Brent shares his insights, his passion for the open road is infectious, reminding us that the journey is as important as the destination, and that the true essence of adventure lies in the camaraderie and memories we create along the way. I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. You're listening to Exploration Local, a podcast designed to explore and celebrate the people and places that make the Blue Ridge and Southern Appalachian Mountains special and unique. My name is Mike Andrus, the host of Exploration Local. Join us on our journey to explore these mountains and discover how they fuel a spirit of adventure. We encourage you to wander far, but explore local. Let's go. Well, I am excited to be back for another episode, and this is our first one of 2024, and I honestly can't think of a better guest to have. I have Brent Nelson. He's the owner of Tent Tracks here in the studio with me. We've had a few OBA events that we have connected at, and we've been trying to pull this together, and we finally did. Brent, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
As someone who has slept on the ground for many, many, many years, I kind of moved to the rooftop tent. And then I realized, gosh, I'm not that person that just goes and just stays at one place for a very long time. And then when I saw a trailer like yours, especially, I think the first time I saw your trailer was at the Get In Gear Fest this past year. It was the first time I saw it personally. We're going to talk about your trailer today. We're going to talk about what got you into this space. You own this company. You have owned it since, I think, 2019 is when you ended up buying the company. But really cool story that kind of sets this up in 2018. And I'd love to kind of start there as we kind of get into your background a little bit, Brent. And let's talk about what got you into Tent Tracks, what got you into this space, because you've been doing this for a very long time. You've been camping and you've been into the outdoor world for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up outdoors. You know, I had a family that was always out. You know, most of my memories are with a pop-up camper. And that kind of feeds in a little bit later because it was always the, you know, get to camp and it took about an hour to set everything up. So that kind of drove some of the design stuff we've done. But always outdoors, backpacking, camping. You know, my parents spent a lot of time taking us on family vacations to national parks. And I was fortunate to do a lot of that and kind of came back around the past several years to even do a lot more of it. I went to Clemson University, just down the road.
Tigers.
There you go. And got a mechanical engineering degree from Clemson. And I spent about 12 years in the corporate world. So I was working for Caterpillar for a long time. So I was doing everything from design engineering to manufacturing to, you know, some of the business side, technical sales, working with our dealers, things like that. So it was I really enjoyed it. Didn't enjoy the corporate side of it as much, but that kind of gave me a lot of the skills to be able to kind of go off and do something on my own. So yeah, you mentioned 2018, living on the West Coast for a little while, living in Seattle, and just, you know, my wife and I, we had a little 2-year-old daughter and a golden retriever, and it was kind of just time to do something different. So we packed everything up, sold the house, bought an RV and took off.
And your wife was totally cool with this?
She was, you know, she's always been the kind of person who is ready to do all kind of crazy adventures that I come up with.
Cool.
She's kind of the voice of reason also, which is,
you
pretty,
need it.
Which is pretty important. But no, it was, that is a big deal when you have a 2-year-old and going and
heck yeah,
living who knows where, sleeping who knows where. And we did plenty of that. But yeah, I mean, we're all crammed in the RV. I convinced her to even, this was the harder part. I had a what is a 1993 Jeep. So a 25-year-old Jeep that we're going to pull behind and use as our primary vehicle, which
wow.
That took a little more convincing. But for the most part, that went okay. A couple, you know, campground fixes here and there to keep it running, but everything was good.
All right.
Yeah, so we spent about a year on the road, and I think it was about 30,000 miles.
Wow.
So we were everywhere from Baja, Mexico, all the way up to Nova Scotia.
Wow.
And everywhere in between. And so that was kind of the big, I don't know, I guess pivotal year for us, kind of figuring out where we were going to do moving forward.
Right.
So, yeah, kind of feeding into tent tracks, I started looking for eventually you do have to make some money and get a real job. So looked at some options, looked at several businesses either to start or for sale, and I ran across Tent Tracks, which was located in Eugene, Oregon at the time.
Now, when you ran into Tent Tracks for the first time, was it in the field? Like, did you see somebody camping in this, or did you just see that a business was posted for sale somewhere?
So I had seen it back in the day. You know, it started in 2001.
Okay.
And it was big in kind of that Jeep off-road world, because it was really the only kind of trailer that you could take anywhere, you know, off the pavement. So you'd see it in magazines every once in a while here and there. And I'd never seen one in person before. So when I found it, kind of contacted the owner a little bit and talked about it, I at least had some familiarity with it.
Cool. So 2001, and we think of where we are today in 2024, and a lot of these types of rigs and, you know, just you see trucks all just accessorized out and the whole nine yards. This is way before any of that became popular. This was really probably some of the founding equipment, experiences, and trailers of its kind in the day, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was pretty novel back then, but even now it's unique just in the construction materials. So it's, you know, it's a fiberglass body, keeps it nice and lightweight. It's still very compact, and we've done a bunch of design changes since I purchased it.
Cool.
To kind of modernize, you know, make things a little bit more reliable, durable. But yeah, I mean, back then nobody was doing the kinds of things people are doing now with camping or, you know, going off the grid, van life, any of that.
Yeah.
You know, that was still pretty, pretty novel back then.
Yeah. So you saw Tent Tracks, this became available. It was an opportunity. How in the world did this conversation go with you and your wife when you were thinking about, we're going from 2018, camping all around the country, out of the country, and then all of a sudden I'm going to buy a business and it's going to be more of the same in terms of outdoors, trailers, camping? That was just kind of the world that you found yourself in.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. That year for us, I mean, we got good at it. You know, you first start and you say, okay, I got to plan these campgrounds out. We want to be at this national park. We want to do all these things. But we quickly found that it's a lot more fun when you just kind of wing it.
Cool.
You know, you figure out what, you know, what tools are available, what apps are out there. And we're driving around finding places to stay the day of most of the time.
Wow.
You know, I don't think we spent very little money that second half of the year.
Kind of figure things out.
Yeah, on campgrounds, because we were out in, you know, we were in BLM land and national forests and all these places.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, so she was excited. I mean, she was excited to do it. You know, it's what I do every day, all day. She also helps out. She does a lot of the, you know, communication and marketing and quotes and things like that. So she does the stuff that I'm not very good at. So that's good. That's in her spare time. She has several jobs.
Right.
No, but I mean, that was a big part of it, because it really was going to be a big change of life for all of us. And our daughter was not yet in school, so we had to figure out the logistics of all of that. But yeah, she was absolutely on board, and I certainly wouldn't have be able to do it without her support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you buy the company, and at that point, I guess, did you have this vision for where you wanted to take this? And, or did you just say, you know, I love this, I love the concept, let's get one, put it to the test, and then kind of figure out where our business plan goes from here?
So kind of what I was looking for was something with good reputation and a good solid design base.
Okay.
So, you know, we talked to existing owners, we looked online, everything we could find on web forums and Facebook and all these places, just to see what people were saying about them. And in general, it had a very good reputation. People had owned these things for you know, at that point, almost 20 years.
Wow.
And I know customers now that have owned them all the way from the beginning. There was a predecessor company in the 90s that kind of became Tent Tracks.
Okay.
I've met original customers. I know the guy that owns serial number one.
Wow, no way.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat to be able to go back and see some of that history, but also see that people use them. I mean, they use them all the time, and they're still going. They're still strong. So having something like that with a good, you know, a good base design was critical. And I knew there were a bunch of things I wanted to do to change it. You know, we immediately changed updated the branding, you know, logos, website, things like that. And so it was one of those where the previous owner had not done as much with it the few years before.
Okay.
But it's also when, you know, the overlanding world was exploding. You know, of course, after COVID, you know, outdoor recreation in general has just gone crazy.
Yeah.
So it was a little scary to buy it, and then COVID popped right up pretty shortly after.
Right.
But you know, since then we've had a great time. We've really done well, and enjoyed being in Asheville as well.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. So that's a good point, because when you first bought this company, you were living, you were not in North Carolina at the time, were you?
Right. Yeah, so I grew up in Georgia, kind of, you know, North Georgia outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
And we, you know, with a business like this, you're outdoors, we want people to come visit us and see the products. You know, convincing people to go to Atlanta is hard enough. So nothing wrong with Atlanta,
so true.
But it's not, you know, there's not as much outdoor activities, you know, right outside of the city.
Right.
So, you know, I grew up in Georgia, my wife grew up in South Carolina. We've always visited Asheville. You know, we grew up coming to Asheville. So it's kind of a natural spot. It's close enough to both families, but just far enough away.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. I get it.
But no, and that's part of the reason that kind of left the West Coast too, because, you know, our daughter was 2 years old and we wanted to be closer to family and be able to see them. But yeah, our shop is over in Black Mountain. So, you know, 15 minutes east of Asheville. And we're right in the valley there. You look 360 degrees around and you can see the mountains. So it's very easy to get people. We've had people visit from 8, 10, 12 hours away just to come see the shop.
No way.
And they say, well, we love Asheville. We'll stay here for the weekend. We're going to stop and see you guys.
Perfect.
So that happens. I mean, that happens regularly. So it's a good draw. Helps out us. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but just getting involved in meeting other similar outdoor businesses has been really great.
When you moved here, were you aware of the outdoor gear builders, the fact that this area is the, you know, outdoor gear hub of the East? Did you know those things? Was that kind of part of the calculus in you all moving your business here?
So I was somewhat aware. You know, I knew some of the bigger companies, and I had a couple contacts that ultimately led me to the OBA.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you can tell that there's a lot of excitement in the outdoor industry and, you know, the outdoor manufacturing industry. So that was definitely part of it.
Let's pivot a little bit and actually talk about the product itself. And we'll ultimately come back to kind of talking about some of the customer experiences with the product. But I had the great pleasure right before Christmas to visit you, to visit the shop, mm-hmm. to see things in motion, to see, you know, everything kind of stripped down to the bare, looking at suspension. And it definitely is a one of a kind. And I didn't learn until recently that you were mechanical engineering background and technical sales. And that makes perfect sense. As soon as I read that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see, Brent, we were in your shop and we were talking about all the different suspensions and the different things that you did to kind of upgrade that. But let's talk about your particular camper. Let's talk about the setup of it, the composition of it, what makes it a little bit different, because I think people are going to be stoked to hear whether or not you have a 6,000-pound Land Rover or Jeep or whatever to a little small car.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you touched on it there. The thing that really sets it apart is that it's small, compact, and lightweight, but you still get a huge amount of storage space. So we're very popular with vehicles that can't tow a whole lot and that don't have a lot of storage space. Say you talk about people with Jeeps and small SUVs and Subarus, not a lot of tow capacity. So most people wouldn't even consider buying a big camping trailer because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Our trailer does great because it weighs 600 pounds, the base model does. It's within pretty much the towing capacity of any vehicle. We have I don't know the specs on it, but we have a customer that pulls one with a smart car. which is funny because they're about the same size. Yeah, I mean, before I bought it, there was a model that was kind of more of an on-road based, and we had customers with Volkswagen Beetles and all different models of Subarus and
That's so crazy.
All kinds of stuff. And again, it's Tentrax is known for the off-road side, but what I tell people is that it's built for going off-road first, and it's built strong enough too. But all that does, if you're, you can certainly take it in state parks and paved roads and everywhere you want to, but you get that strong engineering design and the durability and the reliability of something that's built well.
Yeah. And it's not like one of these tires. Like when you see the tires on this thing, it is big and it's beefy. And we're going to have a link in our show notes to the actual product, or excuse me, to your website. But that alone, you don't have to worry about if I'm doing 70, 75 miles down the interstate worrying about this little tiny tire. Is this thing going to pop? Is it going to warp? Is it going to, this is beefy.
And so I would say on about probably 75% of our trailers, we have customers request us to match their vehicle wheels and tires.
Oh, no way.
So, that might be a Jeep. It might be, we had a customer with a Ford Maverick recently, small compact pickup trucks. Match the wheels and the tires, and what that does for you is you already have a spare, right? You've got your spare in the vehicle. It'll bolt right up to the trailer, so you don't have to carry an extra spare for a trailer.
Cool.
It's also, like you said, you don't have one of those tiny little trailer tires that you're worried about blowing going down the road.
Yeah.
You have a real automotive tire.
Yeah.
So it's all in just making it, a little customizable, kind of cool looking for the customer, but it also makes it more reliable when you're actually out in the middle of nowhere.
Cool. So walk me around the trailer, because I know I was in your shop and I got a chance to see it. But let's walk around sort of from the beginning, just kind of all around, do a 360 on some of the features. And then the most amazing part to me was just the storage piece. You've already spoken about that a little bit, but that part really got my attention.
Yeah. So, we start out with a strong tube steel frame, an independent suspension. It's made by a company called Timbrin out of Canada. A strong suspension that performs really well, gives it a nice ride so your stuff isn't bouncing around when you're going down the road. The body itself is fiberglass, and basically if you're looking at it, if you see one closed, you'd be surprised that it opens up into a tent and bed like it does. Yeah, it opens up in about 2 minutes. So, I mentioned before my dad spending about an hour to get camp set up just right, with the pop-up and all that, everything. And
yep, been there, done that.
Yep, exactly. And I loved it, but, setting up quickly is worth a lot.
Yeah.
So, it sets up in just a couple minutes. You get somewhere and it's raining. You don't want to be sitting messing around with stuff for 20 minutes. So you can open it. It can be opened by one person. You get inside and it's kind of in between a double and a queen-size bed. So it's padded foam. You have the tent itself is waterproof, of course. We have a rain fly on top of it as well. And so you have, you're comfortable. You're not sitting on the ground. You're not sleeping on the ground.
Right.
And I've spent lots of nights on the ground. Yeah. But once you get off the ground, it's hard to go back.
No doubt.
You're up off the ground in a lot of areas. You're out in the desert somewhere. It's kind of nice to be up off the ground away from, spiders and snakes and scorpions, all kinds of stuff.
That's right.
But, and then once you're in, you actually have the ability to open up a hatch and get down to the storage space. So all that bed and everything doesn't take up much of the storage space. You still have about 45 cubic feet of actual storage space in the body of the trailer. So what we do is we just keep it packed. It's ready to go. It has all the camping gear in there. It's got the water loaded up. Batteries are charged. And we can just hook it up and go.
That's cool.
I think the one thing that keeps people from going camping and getting outdoors is they don't do it enough, so they don't have everything ready. So it takes half a day to get everything packed up and find all your gear, find everything.
That's right.
It's there. Your bed's good to go. You're going to be dry. Yeah, so that storage space is huge.
So huge. That was a game changer for me, to be honest with you. Because you could lift that up. You could, if it is raining, when you were stuck inside or bad weather, whatever it may be, you can lift that up. Your feet go down. You can sit up. It's like it almost like it creates space inside there for you,
right?
Not just storing the stuff down there. Or you mentioned to me, it's like, hey, I forgot my jacket. I forgot something. Boom, it's in there. I just lift it up and don't have to get out. Don't have to climb down the ladder. Of course, it's not that big of a climb, but don't have to go to the truck. everything's right there. It's self-contained.
Yeah, and it also helps you keep it a little less cluttered. Mm. You know, if you got your tent and your bed there and all your stuff is everywhere, you feel tight. You don't feel like you have a whole lot of room.
Good point.
So this way you get everything. You can put it down in that storage compartment. There's several different areas you can store stuff. And, yeah, having that little compartment there where you can sit, like a little bench.
Yeah.
It's great. You sit there and read a book. You can, you know, you can kind of stand up, change your clothes if you need to. And when you see it in person, you see the trailer, you don't expect there to be that much usability and that much space inside. So that's kind of the magic, right, is that it's very usable and you don't have to lug around something huge and heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. And yeah. I mean, if you have a garage, it just fits right in your garage. And, you know, it's – yeah, and I love the concept about keeping that thing packed because for us in the pop-up days, that was – you know, every trip we would learn something new. This is what we need to stock it with. This is what we need to stock it with. And we finally got it. We finally got to that point where it's like, you want to go camping? Great. Just put a couple of clothes, a couple of change of clothes, throw the boats on the top, bikes, whatever, and we're gone. And, yeah, keeping that thing stocked up is smart.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we have a roof rack on top of the trailer as well. So you can put bikes on there. You can put kayaks. You can do whatever you want to. You got a hitch on the back that you can put a bike rack on. So it ends up, not only do you have that inside storage space, you've got a lot of space on the outside, racks and different things where you can strap down your gear.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I think it's sized so that you're not bringing too much. Also, you know, you've been on those camping trips where you just bring everything.
Yeah, and you never touch it.
It doesn't really make it any easier. It just kind of makes it more to clean up when you get back home.
Right.
You know, you go enough and you kind of figure out exactly what you need and not bringing too much.
Yeah.
Although I was out last weekend. We were in Tennessee doing an event, and I think it was down in the 20s. So you tend to bring a little more gear when it's that cold, but
yeah.
Did all right.
But this trailer, you have so much customization in this trailer.
Right.
So from refrigerators to solar panels for energy and, you know, if you got batteries, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm getting kind of older now and, you know, throwing an electric blanket on. I'm not too proud to say I might do that with a little bit of a Jackery or Blue Eddy or something like that. But yeah, let's talk about some of the customization because that's the piece that I'm real, real stoked for your trailer just because of what you can do. And it doesn't seem like there's really many limitations to what you can do or will do.
You're right. And I think that's what sets us apart too, is that we love doing customization. You know, you bring us an idea and even if it's something we haven't done before, we'll figure it out. We'll build it. We'll make it happen. You know, we've done a lot in the electrical space. So lithium batteries have gotten smaller, lighter, and cheaper. And that's allowed us to put more power on board, to do more things. You know, we've had several customers who have come to us and said, hey, you know, my spouse will come camping if you can hook up an electric coffee maker. Or if a hairdryer will work on this battery system, then we can all, you know, then we're all on board. And it takes a lot of power to do that, but it's completely doable. One of the cooler things we've done is we've had a couple customers recently that had CPAP machines.
Oh.
Right? And you think about that, it takes a good amount of power.
For sure.
And so that kind of limits you to, all right, I got to be somewhere where I can plug into the wall. Well, we designed an electrical system for them that was able to run that CPAP machine. And so now the whole family goes, you know, and they go out in the middle of nowhere, you know, off the grid, and he can still run all that, you know, and then you have the power to, you have lights and fans and charging your phone, things like that, even have a laptop.
So that's cool.
That's been cool. But yeah, the customization's a lot of fun for us too. Had a pretty neat setup. We had a customer who, it was great. He was, we got to know him real well, Jim. He came by our shop probably 5 or 6 times and we'd have design consultations and go over everything we were going to do. And he wanted to use the trailer to do multi-stage bike races.
Okay.
But he had some physical issues that he was using an e-bike. So we designed an electrical system to charge his e-bike batteries while he was away, while he was in between stages, while he was driving.
Wow.
So the vehicle charged him. We had solar charging him, you know, or he could just plug it into the wall. So
cool.
It's pretty neat. So we had them all set up. And so he had the best setup of all his friends for sure.
Yeah.
Just, you know, with all of that customization.
Well, and with that customization, Brent, this is not like we have tons of these on a showroom floor. Come check them out. This is more, you might go to an event. People might see you out, but this is really a true customization. When you order it, I was on your website just kind of going through just the different models. and you are just kind of selecting all the things that you want. Mm-hmm. But one of the things you just said, and you've said it a couple times, is that you really love that customization piece, and that I don't know if that kind of reaches back to your past experiences and your training and your degrees, but that you really, I won't say geek out on it, but that's the part that you really, really love bringing to market for people, it seems.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I think it allows us to really get to know the customers too, because we figure out what they want, how they're going to use it, and then we stay in touch with them later. But yeah, it's, you know, we've had stock, you know, kind of plain stock trailers in stock before. We've had dealers that have sold things like that. But ultimately, we found that most people are drawn to our products because of what you can do with them. Mm. You know, you can get them the same color as your vehicle with matching wheels and tires. No matter what you're driving, it's pretty cool to have that.
Yeah.
You know, because it looks cool together.
Yeah.
It's impossible to take one out, stop at a gas station without having a conversation with somebody
cool
about it. But yeah, that is. But still, our lead times are about 3 months. So in an industry where, you know, 12 months is kind of more standard, we're able to do a lot of that customization still pretty quickly.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
One of the things that really draws me to this product too, this camper, can we call it a camper? What should we call it?
What's
camper?
Camping trailer.
Camping trailer. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, it kind of depends on how you're going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great segue, because that's exactly what I was going to say. It's so cool because if you can go on the most extreme trip, an event, or you can, as you were saying, you could just go to the Davidson River Campground or find a plot of land, you know, whatever it may be. So it's not just this, you know, we're only the diehard overlanders can use this. It's like, no, this is kind of for everybody.
Yeah.
And you really open up the market to whomever wants to have this kind of really cool experience.
Yeah. And that's what we've tried to do. And, you know, I mentioned before that a lot of the background was with this Jeep off-road world, and we've taken them ridiculous places. You know, we took it through the Rubicon Trail, and we've had it all over Moab and, you know, all kinds of, you know, stuff. And most of that is, it'll definitely do it. And we have customers that do it, and it makes really cool marketing pictures. But ultimately, people aren't doing that every day. You know, right. They're not going on week-long expeditions or month-long expeditions every day.
Right.
The customers will do it, and it's capable of it. But it also just works really great kind of in the day-to-day, weekend-type trips. You know, we'll set up a battery system that'll last somebody a whole weekend running a refrigerator, you know, and they've got a family of four. We sell rooftop tents also, Tentrax branded rooftop tents.
Cool.
And, you know, this more than one customer has bought a trailer and a rooftop tent. You know, kids get to go sleep upstairs and the parents get in the trailer.
Yeah.
But it's, it works really well for that.
That's cool. Man, how do you think about that? So talk a little bit about the different models that you have.
Okay.
It's not just one. You've got a few different models, and maybe in buckets of who those particular models may be a good market for.
Sure. So kind of the original model, we renamed the Ascend. And so that is the trailer that I've been describing that looks like a, you know, it's a fiberglass trailer on the outside. You have the rack on top. It opens up into a bed and a tent. So again, that's it's basically an evolution of what Tentrax has been building for over 20 years.
Okay.
We had customers that came to us that they already had an existing rooftop tent on their vehicle. And they said, hey, can I put this on the trailer? So essentially what we did is we took the trailer body, we reinforced it on the inside, and then so you could mount your rooftop tent on top.
Okay.
So if you imagine rooftop tents on top, still functions like it normally would, but you can open the lid and have even more storage inside.
Mm.
So then it becomes just a, you know, kind of an extension of the storage space, but also it allows you to have a base camp. So, you know, you've got the rooftop tent on top of your Land Rover.
Yeah.
If you need to go to the store.
Yeah.
Or if you need to, you know, say you want to go, you know, drive to dinner or something like that, you've got to close up the tent. And it's not the hardest thing in the world, but it's kind of a pain.
It's still a process. Yeah.
So what this does is it lets you have a base camp. You know,
yeah.
Say you're in the national forest somewhere and you got the perfect spot. It allows you to keep everything there.
Yeah.
Take your vehicle and go do what you need to do.
Yeah.
The other model is really kind of the basic. It's the cargo. So it's just a an open trailer. And I've been surprised recently we've had kind of an increased interest in the cargo trailers.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe people Maybe, I mean, I don't know why, but maybe they want to sleep on the ground.
No. Why would they?
No, it's, you know, it's, we actually have a customer. It's awesome. There's a blog on our a webpage that tells their story. And they have had their tent tracks trailer for about 6 or 7 years. And they're almost 80 and then over 80 years old. And they go every year and they drive across the whole country and they hang out in Colorado and California, and they love sleeping on the ground because they, you know, they've done tons of backpacking, but they use the cargo trailer to carry everything.
Cool, smart.
You know, and to kind of save their spot when they find a good one there, you know, when they're on. It's cool to see that, you know, or that it, that that is what allows them to actually do all of those adventures. We have a not yet released model. We kind of played with it a little bit right before COVID. A lot of times people will see the trailer and they'll say something like, oh, that looks like a big cooler, you know, will it float? And we actually have tested that and it does float.
Does it really?
Yeah, it does. We've had people drive it through rivers too. But, you know, we get that comment a lot, like, oh, it looks like a big cooler. Wouldn't that be cool? And so we actually made a model called the Tailgater.
Nice.
And if you search around on YouTube a little bit, you can find some pictures or videos of that. Basically, what we did is we built a kitchen set up on the front. So it had a slide out with a refrigerator and a grill and a stove and everything. And the lid opened up, and you had a TV with surround sound speakers.
No way.
We had a section for beer and other beverages. And, you know, you could put ice in there. And then we actually had taps on the back as well.
No, get out.
Yeah. So the only unfortunate thing about that is we came out with it right before COVID. So that's something we're going to bring back out.
But okay.
That'd be an awesome setup for,
right?
You know, say a brewery needs to go out and do an event.
Ah, good
right?
call.
You could just have everything hooked up, put the branding on the outside, things like that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool idea.
That is a really cool idea.
Yeah, I'll have to show you some videos of that later.
Yeah. Well, let's stay in that stream of thought, though, talking about some of your customers. So you have that customer, but you've created like this little cohort of people that mm-hmm. really are your customers and have been sort of probably customers for life. And I know you have some really, really cool stories you'd love to share about some of those. And I'd love to hear them because the places that y'all have gone, we've named a few: Rubicon Trail, Big Bend National Park, Baja Peninsula, and of course, all the Rocky Trails right here in the Appalachia. But let's dive in and hear some of these really cool stories, Brent.
Sure. Yeah. I always love talking about my friend, Jeff. You know,
right.
I call him Gold Miner Jeff. We actually met Jeff where we were in New Mexico, and he kind of, we were on living in the RV, and we were camping at this Air Force base. Kind of, they had a free camping area right outside the base. It was near White Sands National Park and National Monument. It's one of those. And, you know, Jeff pulls up in his Subaru and rooftop tent, and he was just wide-eyed. I mean, he's just looking around, and he came and talked to us, and this was his first night on the road. He kind of had a similar experience where he said, that's it. I'm leaving Buffalo, New York, and I am going to go travel. And he bought a gold claim on eBay in California for, you know, $2,500 and bought some gold mining equipment and prospecting equipment and hit the road. So we caught him on night one or two, and he's wild. And so I stayed in touch with him, you know, the next 6 months or so. I bought the business. And he came to me and said, all right, I want to do the trailer. I want to live in the trailer 6 months out of the year up in California and mine for gold. So we built – it was actually the first Overlook model, which is the one I mentioned to you that has the rooftop tent.
Okay.
And we've got some pictures on his on our webpage. His Instagram is Gold Gravel and Travel.
Gold Gravel and
so
Travel.
He does it. So he spends 6 months out of the year living in a Tent Tracks trailer up in the mountains of California. And he goes when the snow melts all the way until the snow starts falling again.
Cool.
Which ends up only being about 6 months up there. And he is just, you know, he's on the side of the mountains and he's in the creeks, you know, moving boulders and jackhammers and everything, finding gold out there.
Oh, so it's has he found any?
He has. Oh, yeah. He's you know, and he's found some pretty good sized stuff because it's all the area that was, you know, it was all industrially mined years ago.
Okay.
So there's a lot of small stuff left.
Wow.
But and you could talk about that for days. But it's pretty cool to be able to point to something and say, this guy lives in it in bear country six
wow.
months out of the year.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's an awesome guy. He's a good friend. Lots of colorful stories from from Gold Miner Jeff. You know, we've I had a pretty neat conversation with a customer recently that he's owned his tent tracks since before I owned the business, so it's been about 10 years, but he's bought a lot of stuff from us. So one thing that I try and do is when we come out with a new accessory or, you know, a new improvement on the trailer, I do my best to make sure that it's it can be retrofitted onto older models. And it takes some work sometimes, but, I mean, there are hundreds of people out there with trailers that would love to make them more comfortable or more waterproof, be able to hold more accessories. So we have a new tent that we designed. We have new storage, electrical components. I mean, all kinds. We have rain flies and insulation inside, and all these things are things that we've done in the past few years. So Mike had purchased pretty much everything that we made. You know, we've got some existing customers like that we come up with it, and they'll buy it. And he, his wife was sick, but they, you know, they both love their tent tracks and they both love using it. So he set it up in their backyard, ran some power out there, and camped in it. When I talked to him, it was 45 plus nights in a row.
Wow.
That they'd just been camping in the backyard.
In the backyard.
Yeah. You know, they couldn't go out. She couldn't leave the house as much, but they loved it so much. They loved being outside and they loved just that environment that they set up some lights and just camped in the backyard for that long.
Right.
So it's neat. We definitely draw some pretty awesome customers. And I mean, I've made friendships through the business just through the customers that'll, you know, probably last a lifetime. We have an event that we do every year called Tow. So it's a Tent Tracks Owners Weekend.
Okay.
Tow.
Like a trailer. Yep. pretty original.
Yeah, there we go. So we basically we'll go out. It's in the Uari National Forest, kind of east of Charlotte. And we have a big 50-acre piece of land there that we rent. And, you know, it has some facilities and things like that. And we bring people from all over. I mean, we've had people probably the farthest way away was Texas or Maine, all the way down to Florida.
Cool.
The West Coast customers keep wanting to do something out in Arizona or Utah or something. So that'll be next.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great because everybody gets together. We, you know, we show them, we have a big sale with all the new products we came out with in the past year, and we'll install everything for free. We'll do, you know, kind of do some trail rides. We'll do some. We had Joe Flowers from Bushcraft Global. So he's a cool guy to look up if you ever get a chance. He would be great on the podcast, honestly. I think Joe lives up towards Virginia, but he's in North Carolina.
Cool.
He did bushcraft training for us. So that's basically, you know, using what you have around you kind of to camp, to survive. He taught some knife skills. He taught us skills about using trash, you know, picking up plastic bags on the ground and how you can turn that into fishing line and supports for hammocks and, I mean, all kinds of different things.
Cool.
I mean, it's fascinating. And then we have a past couple of years, I'm not sure if you've met Nate with Trail to Table.
No.
So Nate's an OBA member.
Okay.
And he's here in Asheville. And he's done our live fire cooking for us the past couple of years. I think the first year we did about 50 or 60 pounds of prime rib on the fire. You know, and he's sitting there cooking everything and tons of other food. Well, this past year we did a pig. So we did a pig roast, and my guys and I designed up an electrical pig spit, sat there and spun it. And we were up at 3 a.m. getting that pig on there, and I think it cooked for about 16 hours.
Oh my.
I mean, it was some of the best food you can imagine. Yeah. So anyway, all that to say, we have a good time with our existing customers.
Cool.
And it's really neat for us to be able to get together with them, you know, once a year, maybe a little bit more often here coming up soon. Yeah.
Now, where can the general public, other than contacting you and traveling over to Western North Carolina, where else would you be? I know you'll be at the Getting Gear Fest. Mm-hmm. That's here in Asheville area. That'll be in the spring. But are there other places around the country that you all do some of these types of events besides the Tow event and the Getting Gear Fest?
Yeah, we have a few big ones that we do pretty much every year.
Okay.
There's a big Jeep Invasion in Pigeon Forge that we do. The Overland Expo series of events, we've done one of those every year. Mostly in Virginia at the Overland Expo East, but we're planning on going out to the West event, which is in Flagstaff, Arizona as well. And then we kind of do, you know, medium-sized, smaller events here and there all around. We've done a good bit with Falcon Expeditions. Matt and Elizabeth, they have a base camp and a cabin campground up in, I guess it's towards the Smokies. It's about an hour west of Asheville. And we've held some events there and had some you know, kind of smaller little trail rides and camping events and things like that.
Cool.
So we're always doing something where you can come check us out. We have some people on the West Coast too, customers that have volunteered to say, hey, come, you know, if you want to check out a trailer, come look at mine, and they'll talk about it. So we've had some people take advantage of that.
That's cool.
So yeah, we try to, you know, we keep the website updated and kind of say which events we're going to be at.
But very nice.
It's amazing just the number of outdoor events there are to take advantage. I mean, you could do something every weekend, I think, if you wanted to.
Yeah. So, and the website's really simple. It's just TentTrax, TentTrax.com.
Yep.
So TentTrax.com. And it's a great website, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. And it's really cool. There's some link to some really good articles that are on there. I know that you were a former Land Rover guy. You were telling me.
I've always kind of, well, you know, you're right. I did own a Land Rover.
Yeah, Disco, right? Disco 1 or Disco 2?
Range Rover Sport.
Range Rover Sport. There you go.
I did love that. I'd buy another one of those.
Right. So whose Disco was it that was in that article? In I think it was No Boundaries or something like this.
The white one.
The white one, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a great story. It was my buddy Chad's.
Okay.
And he joined us for our very first event right after I bought the company. I mean, we had our branding finished the day before, and it was the Easter Jeep Safari, which is in Moab.
Okay.
And he drove out there with his Land Rover. In that town, if you've ever been to Moab, I mean, it's not a very big town, but it was just crawling with Jeeps everywhere.
Wow.
And, you know, they could kind of take over. But he shows up in his Land Rover, and we took it out going off-road. I've always been a Jeep guy, but, man, that he showed up some Jeeps for sure when we were out there. And we're pulling the trailer around on trails that people just couldn't believe we were out there. Yeah, so we had a good time. We've still got some pictures of his out there. Kind of it's really some of the first marketing pictures we took right after we bought the company.
Very cool.
So that was pretty neat.
All right, so you have an amazing camper. You can customize it to no end. Really, there's probably things that you will manufacture that you don't even have in your brain right now, just because you're so willing to customize. You have a great following, a loyal following, amazing stories. You live here now in Western North Carolina, and you've moved here to the outdoor gear hub industry of the entire East. Mm-hmm. But you didn't just stop there. You are really getting involved in the outdoor scene here, and you're involved with the Outdoor Business Alliance, not just as a member, but you're now a board member for the Outdoor Business Alliance, and you just keep getting involved, man. I think every time I show up to one of the socials, you're working the front desk, you're, you know, checking people in and all that kind of stuff. But let's talk a little bit about, if you can, and if there are other things, we definitely want to get, you know, completely away from TentTrax.
Sure.
But I'd love to kind of find out a little bit about your involvement with the OBA, what that means to you, what Made by Mountains means to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of that, because it really is a really special ecosystem that we have here in Western North Carolina. And I just love for listeners to know more about what you're involved with.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, so it's, you know, Amy Allison and her husband, Dusty Allison, were some of the first people that we met that were involved in it was the OGB back then, the Outdoor Gear Builders. Great name. I mean, because we were an outdoor gear builder.
That's right.
But it's since expanded to be more than just gear builders, and it's, you know, companies that are involved in the outdoor industry. There's lots of, you know, there's camps and, you know, supporting
guides
companies
and
guides, and I mean, yeah, plenty of others. So I think that change to the Outdoor Business Alliance kind of reflects that it's a pretty wide range of companies. So I was pretty impressed. So we were, like I said, we were invited to come check it out. You know, we had some companies. We have a neighbor in our shop in the complex there, Pirani, was a member, and you're drinking out of a Pirani
right
cup
there.
Right there.
Yeah,
right.
Representing outdoor, what does it say? Outdoor, this was the Outdoor Economy Conference. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, that was a great one too.
Best cup ever.
Yep, it really is. And so they're just down the hall, and they, you know, of course we got to know them, and we're talking with them, and now we have Pirani cups everywhere with TentTrax logos on them and everything. But we had the opportunity to host a social. They had already planned. They had planned the social, and we said, well, we could help out with it. So it was kind of neat. We had kind of people came to the front of our building, walked through our shop, checked out some things. We had some cool vehicles there, some old classic Jeeps and some trailers and all this. And Nate at Trail to Table cooked up some fantastic food. And then they went down the hall and went to Pirani and kind of did the program. They did some custom engraving for people. And that was, that was kind of the beginning of our real involvement with the OBA.
Okay.
And we ended up joining and taking part in the Getting Gear Fest last year. And it was great. I mean, we had a blast. I mean, it was about 60 companies over at the Outpost.
It was amazing.
And it really was. And I think what really impressed me was just the general energy and the excitement and the positivity from everybody we talked to. You know, we're used to all different kinds of events, but, you know, a lot of times we'll have people coming up and asking questions and pointing fingers and saying, why is this like this? And why is this like, and that's fun. But everybody here was just, they were just excited. They were pumped. They were happy to have something, you know, a business like ours even being in the area.
Heck yeah.
So we loved it. We really enjoyed that. And it, yeah, like you said, I volunteered to help out with the organization a bit with some of the events. Now I'm planning the 2024 Getting Gear Fest. So
did Matt rope you in?
Yeah.
Matt's very good at that.
He's very good at that. I know.
I love Matt. Matt, if you're listening, we love you.
Mm-hmm, we do. Yeah, it's fun, though. It's cool to be a part of that because it really is. It's an organization that just has a lot of just awesome people. You know, they're fun to be around. They're all positive thinking. They're all thinking about ways to grow the business.
Yeah.
But they're also thinking about ways to grow the outdoor industry in Western North Carolina as a whole.
Right.
And it's just, it's exciting. We really enjoy it. And that's how we met.
That's right. That's exactly how we met. Yeah. And Amy, you mentioned Amy and Dusty. Amy is the one that definitely connected us. And that whole Made by Mountains, I mean, everyone there is just so wonderful. And they are. I mean, it's the stoke is high. The positivity is high. The embracing us, you know, just the outdoor community is next level. It's just, I mean, we could go on and on talking about all of those cool relationships that come out of it. But you definitely got connected with the right people. Amy got you in. Matt got you connected. And here you are planning the whole Get... Are you like head of the whole Getting Gear Fest?
Yes. If you're listening to this and you'd like to volunteer, give me a call. It's exciting. And I think what's cool is that it's not hard to talk to, you know, people whose companies aren't members and to really give them the reasons why it works. Because we had such an awesome experience this past year. So it's, you know, that it's just a, like I said, really good organization. It's going to be a cool event this year. I think it's going to be the best one yet.
There you go. Going back to the exact same place, Asheville Outpost. What is it called?
It's the Outpost there.
There you go.
It's just west of Carrier Park. And it'll be May 4th, and it's a one-day event, and we're going to have a bunch of vendors there. It's right by greenways and the park bike trails, so people can just ride their bikes up totally free. You can come check it out, check out all the local vendors. Some people will be selling stuff, have some specials and sales and things like that, but it's going to be a really cool event.
Yeah, that's good. Well, kudos to you for taking on the heavy lift and the task of sort of organizing that whole thing. And you have a volunteer here. If I can help you put it together in any way, I'd be happy to do whatever I can do. Last year was my very first one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, cool. And I just walked around just wide-eyed, you know, got some, you know, person on the street kind of interviews and just some impromptu things. But wow, talk about an amazing event that pulled. I mean, if you love the outdoors, what a great place to go and just connect. And, you know, and it wasn't just the booths. It was all the people that just are here and the big community that just continues to grow.
Yeah.
Right. And just all people just kind of hanging out up and down, you know, the aisles, not the aisles, but, you know, out front of the tents and all that sort of thing. It was really a special event. Like one of these things that, like, as long as I live here, that becomes a priority on that weekend. It
Absolutely.
Really does.
I agree. And it's surprising, I think, to a lot of people for them to see how many businesses really are here.
You know?
And, you know, most of those are within an hour of Asheville. You know, I heard a lot of comments like that. Like, I didn't know these people were here. I didn't know these companies were here.
Right.
And it just builds that excitement. And people love to buy locally, right? They love to support local companies. And so that, I think it really helped in that, you know, helped do that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, before we let you go, what are some things that are on the horizon for you and for Tent Tracks?
Well, yeah. So we've had some plans for a little while. We're kind of getting ready to release some new designs.
Okay.
Just, and again, some of it's small stuff, but just, you know, increasing durability, reliability of the products. We're hoping to do that tailgater model this year.
Nice.
So that should be fun. Really excited to get out west because, you know, the West Coast is where Tentrax started. It's where a lot of the customers are. So excited to get out there and
kind of get back to your roots, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, to get to know some of those customers out there. Yeah, but we're growing and we're building more trailers every day. You know, I mentioned a little bit, we have rooftop tents as well.
Yeah.
So in addition to just the trailers, we have a line of rooftop tents, hard and soft shell rooftop tents. We've also done some vehicle work too. So somebody comes and a lot of times it's aligned with buying a rooftop tent or something like that. But, you know, we've done modifications to vehicles, you know, electrical systems, things like that. We're really looking to get into some additional kind of some industries that we haven't been in before as much. So really pushing to do some work with Subaru owners, even some side-by-side owners. You know, side-by-sides are the most popular thing out there right now.
Really?
And it works for us because it's so lightweight and small that you can pull it with a side-by-side and go out and go wherever you want to. So
that's right. When I visited your shop, you actually had one in there that you were doing some work on.
Yep.
Some modifications, I think, for one of your customers.
Yeah, and we did some marketing with that and took some photos and things like that.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, I like seeing people get outdoors and enjoying it and being able to get a little further out if they want to and kind of see how much there is around here or wherever they live. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff out there to see.
Yeah. Boy, you just said it best. You know, to be able to get out there, go further and stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things that really see, and not the only three things, but you really check all those boxes for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Well, it's on my list, and I will hopefully one day soon be an owner of one of these Tentrax trailers because I've done the rooftop tent thing and it's great. It has its space, but like you said, usually it's all of us going in one vehicle and then we're just there. And sometimes we'll go, you know, especially if it's just a guy's trip, we'll kind of go out and we'll just kind of hang there and maybe one or two stops and we're just, you know, doing all the things. But when I'm with my family, there's so much, like you said, to explore here that I want to kind of get out and see as much as I possibly can. And I've been telling my dad about this camper ever since I met you. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you got to check this thing out. And it just really, it just checks a lot of boxes. And I think that when you open up your market for your people that are just not your hardcore, but also the people that like are going to their smart car or their Subaru Crosstrek or whatever it may be, this gets you to those places.
Well, and I think, you know, if I had to guess, I would say 50% of our customers have never touched a trailer, hooked up a trailer, or towed a trailer anywhere.
Wow.
I mean, we'll do training in the parking lot when they buy one.
Cool.
You know, we had a guy drive all the way from California in like 2.5 days. It was wild. I don't even know how that's possible. And he, you know, he got here and then did a little training in the parking lot, picked it back up, and went back home. And that's cool. I love that. You know, I love seeing people trying something totally new. It's totally out of their comfort zone, and that it really just, you know, you see them light up and you see them get excited, and it's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. Isn't that true? Yeah. And then the cool thing about you and the way you do business is that it truly is the beginning of their journey, but I feel like you get to stay connected with a lot of those customers along the way too, just because of the whole process, the whole customization, get to know them, understand what their needs and desires are, creating solutions for those. And then, yeah, you just have a customer and a friend for life.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's the best part of it for me. So
that's cool. Well, Brent, I cannot tell you how much I have enjoyed this, and I'm glad that we finally got a chance to put this together. The vibe that you bring, the stoke that you bring, just who you are, I think, even also just lending your talents and your treasures to the OBA and really just trying to bring as many people into the outdoor experience as you can. That's says a lot about you, man. Every time I see you, dude, you got a smile on your face and you're helping somebody do something. So,
well, thank you very much. No, this has been a great experience for me too. I love the podcast. I appreciate you having me on.
I swear I have the absolute greatest hobby of all time. I get to hear the backstories of how passion and purpose collides and how they propel people to do some pretty amazing things, like what Brent and his team are doing over at Tentrax. Truly remarkable. Check out their website at tentrax.com. for more information and to check out pics of these really amazing rigs. And be sure to follow them on their socials and stay up to date with the 2024 Outdoor Gear Fest, where you can meet Brent and his team and see all of these trailers for yourself. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. But before I sign off, I want to give a shout out to a couple of people. First, Crom Carey, who sent me that awesome video of him laying under a house in below freezing temperatures, protecting all of the plumbing. I posted that video on Instagram. Krom, you are the ultimate hype guy. I really love your energy, brother. Thanks for giving me a lift exactly when I needed it. Also to Jared Lee, who I ran into at Cataluchi Sunday night when I was hosting. It was an epic evening with great conditions, and I was really stoked to get to meet Jared in person. Stephen Reinhold with the Appalachian Adventure Company says, you're a legend in these parts, Jared. And if Ramblin' Reinhold says it, I believe it. Keep spreading the stoke and bringing people along on this journey, Jared. Oh, and Stephen and I think you should come on the show. You would be a great guest. Lastly, y'all, I had a great conversation today with Bryce Mahoney with Yadkinville Valley Adventure, located in Pilot Mountain. We're planning his episode and working out all the logistics, but I can't wait to share his story with you. We both hail from Tidewater, Virginia, and grew up surfing in Virginia Beach and the Outer Banks. Today, we swap stories of some amazing breaks and spots and days of driving up and down the coastline searching for more waves. So cool. Anyway, we're going to focus on what brought him here to the mountains of North Carolina in that episode, and I think that you're going to be really inspired by his journey and by his story. I'd like to give a special thanks to Made by Mountains for making this special collaboration series possible. To find out more about all of the amazing projects and things Made by Mountains is involved in, check out madebymountains.com or visit the link in the show notes. Join me on Facebook and Instagram and drop me a note at mike@explorationlocal.com if you ever have a suggestion for a future episode. Until we meet again, I encourage you to wander far, but explore local.